You're listening to the Drummers Education Connection Podcast. Interviews with the greatest drummers in the business and roundtable discussions with industry leaders and teachers from around the globe to help provide performance, insight, and inspiration.
I'm going to play. Oh, his volume's down. His volume's down. His volume's down. We can't. So you said 11.8?
Yeah,
so
go for it.
I'll play.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, you did it. You did it. All right.
Quick, what intro was that? Yeah. What intro was that?
That had to be a Led Zeppelin thing.
No, it's Whippin' Post. It was the Allman Brothers.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
But anyway, it's not always Led Zeppelin. Rick, your volume was down, so I stopped.
What's happening, everybody? Welcome to the Drummers Education Connection. Welcome back to the Drummers Education Connection. My name is Jeremy Steinkohler. I am here with my two excellent drummer friends and educators, Bart Robley and Rick Stojak. We're here Tuesday from 11 a.m. Pacific time. And we're here to talk to you about drums and drumming and interview really cool people. And today is no exception. We have my good friend, Butch Norton from L.A. visiting us. Thanks, Butch, for coming on the show.
You're welcome. I appreciate the offer, and we've got an hour, and I'll invoice you later.
Perfect. Just send that to Bart, by the way.
Bart, yeah, I see the address right there. It'll be right there.
Yeah. Please feel free to give out the address and my telephone number during the show. That's fine. Yeah.
Also, Bart,
and your social security number.
That's fine too. Yeah. Let her rip, man. Exactly. Let's go big.
If you guys are regular listeners to the deck, remember that we have a Patreon page, and you can check that out and support us and give us a couple of bucks, help us keep the lights on and bring on these terrific guests. Of course, Butch is getting, plug the invoice, as he said. We have lots of giveaways that we do on our Patreon page if you support us. And also, we have our deck day coming up on April 20th. We are hosting our second event. That's a live event. It's going to be here in the Bay Area, and we're going to do 4 drum clinics with myself, Bart, Chip, and Rick. There's going to be a presentation on how to choose cymbals from Jason Slota of Round Sound Cymbals. And then Mike D'Amico of Brooks Drums is going to be there with some of his beautiful, beautiful, masterfully built drums. And he's going to talk about them and show us his drums. And all that stuff's going to be on sale for discounts. And of course, we're going to have tons of giveaways from all of our sponsor companies and raffle stuff. So it's going to be a super fun hang. We hope y'all can make it. Check it out on the website. drummersedcon.com. So we like to start out our show with a little segment we call Good Things. And this is just a chance for us to check in and say, what's going on that's good? Because you know what? It's so much better to focus on the good shit than the bad stuff. So I'm going to kick it down to Rick. And I'm going to ask you, Rick, what's going on that's good for you?
Man, it's a big week for my family this week. My brother-in-law, Gene Hoagland, and his wife, Laura Christine, just played on an album that just got released by the amazing composer Bear McCreary. And it's an all-star lineup on this album. 2 songs are released. Laura is doing all the guitar on the first song. Jeremy, we could give them a sample of the song.
Sure.
Surge from System of the Down singing on this song.
Nice. Let me check. I got it queued up for you here, so I'm going to share that to you for a little snippet.
Yeah.
Oh, here we go. Here we go. You guys hear that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Cool.
Awesome.
Oh, yeah. Rock and roll is the family business. There are 2 tracks released right now. The second track, there's the singer Rufus Wainwright, who's amazing. And Butch, I saw on your bio that you've worked with Rufus Wainwright.
I did. I worked on his second record, the Poses record, 1999-2000. We recut one of the songs, that song California, That's Me, with Ethan Johns producing. And then I did the Poses tour for about a year and a half.
What an amazing talent Rufus is. His voice is just stunning. So
his voice and his personality, his musical mind. I sing also. I'm not a singer, but I sing and play. And so with Rufus, if he knew that, if when he found that out, you're singing. So every day we would come in to sound check, and he'd be at the piano, and he would, all five of us would, he would arrange parts every other day, changing parts. A genius mind and a super sweetheart guy. It was wonderful touring with him.
Oh, man, that's awesome.
So cool.
Their McCreary album called Singularity is going to be coming out soon, and there's a live show in May at the Fonda in Hollywood. And it's such an all-star lineup. I know Laura and Gene are going to be playing the live show. I'm not sure who's going to be singing live, but maybe we can all go and hang out and check it all out at that point.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool. Mark, what's going on? That's good for you, buddy.
Oh, man, everything's great, man. The new book, The Rhythmic Journey, is doing really well. Sam Morrison Band hits the road again next month at the beginning of April. Actually, we're not even hitting the road. We're just going out to O'Laughlin for a five-night residency at the Riverside Casino, Don Laughlin's celebrity room. We're going to be there for five nights. Looking forward to that. And if you guys remember last week, I told you about the dogs that my wife and I, my wife rescued, really, from over by this field by Ontario Airport. We've got them to the vet yesterday. They got their shots. They're doing great. They're living in my garage. They're really trying to talk me into letting them stay here full time. Well, we've had a couple of conversations about that. But, you know, the problem is, they don't do anything to make any money. So, you know, I can't have. So anyway, we're trying to find some homes for them. They're doing great. They're healthy. They got their shots, and we're going to get them. We're going to get them spayed here next week, and then still trying to find a home for them. But yeah, doing great. What about you, Jeremy? What's good happening in your neck of the woods?
Well, I have a very great announcement, which is that my son, Evan, who's, as you know, a terrific jazz piano player, just got offered a full ride to Oberlin.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome.
Wow.
So that's fantastic. We're waiting for a few more schools to notify this week. We're going to hear from the last of them. But he got a full ride to Oberlin. And he got a full ride to University of North Texas. So super, super excited. And now we know he's going to go to college. And we're not going to be able to, have to live on the street. Yeah. And then the last thing, I just got new copies of my book in. Finding the Groove. Oh, it's just not going up right now.
It disappears. There it is.
Brand new, hot off the press. If you haven't checked it out, you got to check it out. It's because it's really good, and it's gonna change your life. But Butch, what's going on with you, man? What's a good thing for you?
So many good things. I just got home last week after a grueling 2.5 months on the road away from home with Lucinda Williams, my day job. And we packed a lot into those 2.5 months, which we'll talk about, recording at Abbey Road Studios and in Studio 2 there, and shows all over Europe and stuff. But I'm home, and the exciting, great, happy thing that's happening is that I'm taking a break for the rest of the year from Lucinda. Because in 2 weeks, I'm having left hip replacement surgery.
Oh.
Yeah.
Dude, I can tell you, having had a hip replacement already, that your bass drum speed is going to go through the roof.
Well, this is Butch's left hi-hat leg. So, I 2.5 months with bone on bone, and looking forward to not having that anymore. So very, positive, happy, great stuff going on. And the Lucinda camp is very supportive. And so taking a little break.
You know what? In all honesty, I was out the same day surgery, and I was walking the next day, you know, gingerly, carefully with a thing. But like, if you already got the bone on bone, it'll feel like night and day. As soon as you're out of there, like, oh my God, thank God this thing's gone. So
that's what I hear. Did you have interior or exterior, the front or the back? Did they go into the front or the back?
Front.
Yep. Yeah. Interior. Okay. Yep. That's the quickest healing. I'm very happy, thankful for that. And yeah.
Right on. Well, good luck to you with that. And we'll look forward to checking in with you after that. So those of you who don't know, Butch Norton is the primary permanent drummer with Lucinda Williams. He's played with the band Eels. He was not with the band Eels. You were the band Eels along with me. He's played with Rufus Wainwright and Tracy Chapman. And lots of other really terrific musicians. Butch, tell us a little bit about how you got started. I know you grew up in San Francisco, right?
Grew up in the Bay Area in the 60s. Like all of us my age, I'm 66. Seeing Ed Sullivan on that Sunday with Ringo. I was already banging on suitcases and pots and pans, but then that was it for us. Whoever was a drummer at that time, that took off. And grew up in the Bay Area, studied with, took a few lessons with Anthony Cerrone and Charles Dowd and Mr. Mike Corrado up there. I know Mike is still up there. And then left in 1980 to come down and stop playing kit for 5 years and went deep into percussion at California Institute of the Arts with John Bergamo.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember John Bergamo. I used to work in a place that sold his videos when he for Interworld Music. He came out with those times.
Yep. I remember that. I was there when he was doing those. And then met my wife there. We've been together 41 years. And things started happening around 1986. I met this duo Loan and Navarro, and I stopped playing. I had to figure out how am I going to become a recording touring musician. You know, that was never taught at CalArts.
Right.
So I realized I had to stop playing casuals and bars at that time and just start doing original music, which I went on every audition, some crazy stuff, and met these guys, Lone and Navarro, who had just written the song We Belong for Pat Benatar.
Wow.
Oh, okay.
And they penned it, and via that, they got their own duo recording deal on Chameleon Records, and got in a van with them, started touring on their first record, Walking on a Wire, and then that led to me meeting E a couple years later, and here in the Butch Bunker is where we started rehearsing and found the bass player Tommy, and the first band signed to DreamWorks in 95.
Wow. That's
awesome.
Fantastic.
Yeah. And then everything is kind of springboarded off of that, the way life works, and you know, those connections to the next connection to the next connection, and here we are.
Right. What was the final link in that chain that brought you to Lucinda Williams?
I did 7-8 years, 5 records with the Eels, and it was time to leave. I was a partner within the Eels. We started the band together, but I didn't have any of the publishing, of course.
Oh.
This was E's baby, and I knew that going in. Mm-hmm. I was not making a lot of money. The Eels don't tour that much.
Right.
They still don't. He does a record every 2 or 3 years and then goes out and does one short, you know, a hit of Europe and the U.S. for 3 months and then doesn't tour for 3 or 4 years. So that was not working for me. So in 2002, I left the Eels and did a tour with Tracy Chapman. I did her Let It Rain tour.
Mm-hmm.
which was amazing. And then after that, my old Eels tour manager called me and said, this is 2006, and said, Lucinda Don Heffington, who you might know, drummer, wanted to leave. Could I pick up the gig? They had 2 weeks off, show up in Minneapolis in 2 weeks and take over the tour. And I said, sure, who's Lucinda Williams?
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. They sent me a board tape from the last show they did. And I learned all the 35 songs. And I said, when are we, you know, are we going to do a couple days rehearsal in Minneapolis? No. No, you'll come to Minneapolis, fly in. And, you know, we'll do some sound check and stuff. And yeah, I found out quickly, Lucinda doesn't do sound checks. the band, Doug Pettibone and David Sutton, it was a trio, bass, guitar, and me. The 35 songs, I learned them. And then I told the tour manager, okay, so the first set, these songs are going to be in the first. Oh, yeah. Don't worry about that, of course. So, no, Lucinda walked up to the side of the stage 5 minutes before we're going on. She said, good luck. Have fun. Nice to meet you.
Oh, my God. And
the set list I got 20 minutes before the show, which is very common for her. And 8 of the 35 songs were on the set list. The other 12 or 14, I had no idea what songs they were.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Wow. Wait, where was this gig?
I like the Pantages in Minneapolis.
Okay. So
a big venue.
Big venue. Yeah. 2,500 people.
Man, you're going on stage. You know 8 of the 25 songs you're going to play. The rest of them, you've never even heard these songs. You don't know what they are.
No. And I barely know her. I knew the one song, Passionate Kisses, that Mary Chapin Carpenter had covered of hers.
Right.
And fortunately, the bass player, David Sutton, who he and I are still there after 17 years, I had known him in L.A. and he kind of also. So I was comfortable with him and singer songwriter, 2 and 4, baby.
Right.
Yeah.
You know what, man, I love this story. I love it. And it reminds me of a story that I write about in my book that was like, you know, the stakes were way lower. It was like at a bar in Lafayette that had sawdust on the floor and Budweiser and pool tables. But I got called for this gig, and it was that night. Didn't know any of the stuff, all original material. And I knew the bass player, same thing. And I said to the guy, look, I'll do what I can. No rehearsal, no, I don't know anything about what you're doing. I know a couple of these cover tunes, Money Cash, that's it. And I just watched him, and I watched him breathe, and I could tell when he was going to the chorus, because he'd get that big, take the big breath in, and the guitar would rise up, and I'd watch the bass player for the endings, and he'd look over and say, it's like Beast of Burden, you know, or it's like a Chicago Shuffle, you know, and that was all I got. And then that's it, man. You do what you do. We're professionals, right?
Yeah. Like I said, stick to the 2 and the 4. And David and Doug would shout over, you know, Shuffle, right. A Country Train, this or that. And yeah.
So, but that went so well. After the gig, did Lucinda come up to you and say, oh my God, that was amazing, you're hired? Or?
Yeah. It was immediate. Yes. That from that day on to April 2007 to now, I've been here. And she spends lots of money, and so we have to work all the time. So I'm very happy.
Beautiful. Going into this gig, you knew 8 of the songs that were on the set. Did you have on those 8 songs? Did you have a transcription or some cheat sheets? BPMs? Did you have what did you have? How did you jump in and get ready for it?
Oh,
there you go. There we go.
Oh yeah.
Oh, I'm a paper guy too.
There you go. I'm right there with you.
Let's show those
half of an 8.5 by 11. there's 285 songs here.
There you go.
Show us your method there.
Yeah, let's see that.
It's really straight ahead. You know, the BPM, you know, verse, chorus. Sometimes there's a figure, mm-hmm. the opening fill I'll write out. But it's you know, basically very simple. And the real important thing is the BPM with her.
Yep.
And stops and starts.
Right. So regarding the BPM, do you have a metronome on stage that you're queuing off of?
I've got the Tama rhythm watch right next to me.
There you go.
On silent, I just watch the lights. I'm used to that. Recording with her the last six records, no click in the studio. Everything is feel and live, but the Tama rhythm watch is my god.
Right. Yeah. I completely get that. I do this thing here on our Facebook page when I'm out on tour, and I like every day after sound check and load in and stuff, I have like a little tip that I, you know, if you're a young drummer and you've never toured before, blah, 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 blah. And I have it's going into my ears because we play, I don't know if you guys use in-ear monitors, but I have a click and it comes into my ears and I hear the click. And sometimes, you know, some songs, you know, Sam wants it dead on, so I'll play with the click. Some of the songs, it's like, okay, here's where we're starting. I get us a start in and turn it off. And then, you know, and then for fun, I'll reach over at the end of the song and how close was I at the end, you know? And I think that that's a great thing because it helps you're playing off the singer and you're getting the vibe for the singer, right? This is where we're supposed to be. This is where it's at, you know? You said tempo and starts and stops are big with her. Does she give you cutoffs? Does she give you any of that stuff, or you just know the catalog by now?
I know the catalog pretty well. I know her, and I know, as Jeremy was saying, you know, I know her body motions. You know, standing, sitting behind her for 17 years. I can see when the foot and I can hear when she's singing, if she can't grasp the words and if she's grasping for air, I will subtly adjust the feel and the time.
Yeah.
One of the greatest, one of my favorite stories is we were in, playing at Tipitina's in New Orleans. And Lucinda was receiving, this was 10 years ago, she was receiving a Lifetime Achievement Award for the Music Hall of Fame in Louisiana. And so they were presenting her with this award. And we go on stage and her big song, Car Wheels on a Gravel Road, from her Grammy winning record, 1998. We start playing, we kick in, I start the song, she starts singing the first verse, and she goes, stop, Butch, what's wrong?
Oh, no.
Why is it so fast? And I'm like, on the mic, and she's not shy, she will stop in the middle of a show sometimes, if she forgets a lyric, and she'll go, I'm sorry. Let's start again. It was my fault. Well, this time it wasn't her fault. She's like, I'm gasping for air, you know, and the audience is just like, yay, Lucinda, we love when you grill your fucking artists. Yay. So I'm sweating and Lucinda and I are having this conversation. I'm like, no, Lou, it's right. And I look over my Tama rhythm watch and she's right. It was my rhythm watch had gone up 3 BPM. I didn't check it. It was a little quick. So I start. So I said, okay. I said, my fault. Let's start again. Ever since that day, that is the one song I will always go to my fucking Tama rhythm watch. And I always go 1 BPM slower. It's at 8. That tune is at a 91. I go down to 90. Just to make sure it's sitting right in there. And I've never had any problems since with that.
Beautiful.
Wow.
For those of you who don't know, that record is absolutely phenomenal. And if you've never listened to it, go out and check it out right away. It's really one of the best albums of its genre that exists. And also her new stuff also really fabulous. I was listening to it just this week. I'm one of those guys that believes that like there's ways to play drum parts where it just delivers the song and it lands just right, and you don't even, it's almost like they're transparent, the drum parts, because the song is so emotionally impactful. And Butch is one of those drummers that is like freaking king at that. He plays just the right stuff all the time. It feels so good, the music sounds so good, and Lucinda is such a great songwriter. I'm a big fan of your drumming, Butch.
Thank you. I'll be practicing right after this. Thank you.
I have the rhythm watch also. I love the rhythm watch. Are you using it for the whole set or most of it?
Certain songs.
Yeah.
At this point, there's a lot of songs I just know. I'll sing the chorus, the first line or the first verse, and that sets me up, so I don't need it. But it's always right there on a stand, and it's the go-to for me.
There you go.
Very cool.
One question that I think everybody has is, we'd like you to tell us about your shirt. It says, you can't rule me.
It's a Lucinda song on the last record, Good Souls, Better Angels. And again, as I joked, but I'm not joking, it was free because I work for Lucinda. I get this free.
Wow.
Yeah. You get free t-shirts. It's a perk in this biz. You know, you get free swag.
Nice.
The song on the Good Souls, Better Angels record, two records ago that we did that came out during the pandemic, unfortunately, that just kind of got lost in the shuffle, of course, because of all that. The song is pretty much lyrically, it's a strong throttling our last president.
Ah. Oh, isn't that Man Without a Soul?
And there's an homage to him in that song also. Yeah,
yeah, I thought there was.
There's quite a thread on that record.
Yeah, yeah.
He was at the end of his term.
Yeah, yeah. You know what? What one of my favorite tracks on that record is the Big Bad Train?
Big Black Train. Yes.
Yeah, it's just so good. And drumming is just like, and one of those songs I was talking about was just perfect, man. It's like just.
Thank you. That was one of my favorites. Using those, that whole tune is using those monster brushes from Vader, the blue ones. The ones that feel like you're holding a cock. That's my favorite.
Wait,
you heard it here on Drummer's Education Connection.
Okay, I'm sorry. If you know those. Those sticks, you know what I'm talking about.
If you know, okay? You know. Yeah, yeah.
If you know, you know. Exactly.
Well, I think Promark, I have a pair of those from, even though I'm a Vic Firth guy, I have a pair of those Promark broomsticks that are sort of similar. They're like, they're made out of straw and they're really not light. And they're.
Yeah, yeah. But the Vader ones with the plastic and they're knurled down, it really feels like I'm handling myself. Really.
Just like the sticker ones.
Yeah. That's fantastic, man.
It is fantastic. Hello.
Are you a Vader guy?
Yes. Yeah, I've been with Vader 27 years. I've been with Paiste 28 years, something like that.
So it's too bad Chip's not on. Our fourth compatriot, he is a Paiste guy himself. We're all Sabian guys. And Paiste, Vader, anybody else?
Oh, yes. I've been a big supporter, and they've been a supporter of my pork pie drums, mm-hmm. Bill. Mm-hmm. When I met him in 86, 87, and then he's been making my kits for the last 15 years.
Nice.
It's very nice. He's great. Remo, I've been with since the beginning, 1993. Mm-hmm. Gong Bops. Yeah. A lot of people have been super great to me. Very fortunate.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. Beautiful. We're all also sort of, you know, we open up our jackets and we have labels from all the drum companies on the inside. and it is pretty cool to feel that support. I had a question for you. Oh yeah. About percussion. So you mentioned that you studied with Joe Bergamo.
John Bergamo.
John Bergamo, sorry, at CalArts. And I've seen a couple of videos of you on the interwebs where you're playing percussion setups. Do you integrate percussion stuff into the Lucinda gig at all?
Yes.
Tell us about that. What do you have there?
It's not the singer-songwriter stuff and her the Americana thing. I slip in little things here and there, maracas, little sound.
Let me show you this over here. So this is my Monstro Industro kit, 32-inch bass drum.
Whoa!
I don't know if you can see that.
Yeah.
That I've been playing with, and this. Let's see, can you see this heat? This is a handmade heating duct drum.
Okay. And, oh, wow.
Yeah. It's a lot of weird percussion, a lot of little sounds. This company, GM Designs out of Austin, has been making these little fabricating these sounds for me.
Cool.
So I incorporate a lot of stuff on my hi-hat, you know, nuts and shakers and percussion-y stuff. And then I will usually a lot of the times do different sticks and mallets. I'll play with one wood stick and a brush or egg beater. I fuck around a lot.
Yeah, that's cool. Go ahead, Bert.
Do you tour with that big of a bass drum? Do you tour with a 32-inch bass drum?
No.
I like
big bass drums. My kit with Lucinda right now is a 24, a 24 by a 16. I have a 12 rack and a 14 floor, 16 floor, and a side snare that Bill has been making for me on all my kits for the last 4 years, a 16-inch by 10-inch side snare that's very deep and for those dirgy ballads.
Okay, now you said you're talking a lot about singer songwriter stuff, and what you say, you know, singer songwriter 2 and 4, I'm right there with you. And then you said right after this I'm gonna go practice, right? What do you practice? Talk to us. What do you sit when you're just sitting there and in the Butch bunker and you're behind your kit, what do you shed on?
I sit down and I play every day for at least an hour. Sit down and I will first sit down and see what my stream of consciousness is, not thinking of anything, and just start playing and see what comes out. That's the first thing I do. And then I will put on, there's three different types of music I'll put on. I'll put on some kind of ethnic, I'll put on some kind of techno, and I'll put on some kind of jazz thing. Those three things right now are high on my list, and I will improvise or play along with those tunes. I will chart them out sometimes with my little charting stuff. I do a lot of classical pieces. I pick out classical pieces and improvise with those. I've been working on some Beethoven lately on the kit, but then I for about 2 years at CalArts, when I was at CalArts 80s to 85, I stopped playing kit for 5 years. So I studied tablas and realized after about a year and a half of that I am not Indian, and that I will never, you know, be able, you see those, you've seen the videos of the 3-year-old kids in India on the sidewalk, just burning with the fucking tablas.
Yeah.
And I totally appreciate it, but I realized I'm going to take that technique and work it the best I can and not beat myself up because I can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I take those techniques that I learned and I do a lot of hand drumming. When I'm on the gig, when I'm out with Lucinda, I never warm up with sticks. I do about a 45 minute thing on my, on my Cooperman hand drum, the Hajira.
Oh,
this is how I warm up every day.
Yeah. Okay, look, I was given one of these as a gift. I have no idea how to play the darn thing, and I'm just getting into it. It was given to me as a gift.
Is it a tambourine? Is it a conjira? I can't.
Speak. It's a tambourine. Yeah, it's oh, a. Yeah. Honestly, a friend of mine, his wife is from India, and she came back, and she goes, "Here, give this to Bart," and I've messed around with it a little bit.
Oh yeah, yeah. Oh nice. Oh no, that's a conjira.
Okay.
K A N J I R A.
Okay.
A North Indian little hand drum. Those are beautiful. And this is a hybrid of that Jamie Haddad from Paul Simon's World on a Cooperman drum. It's got these, you know, different jingles on it. So I warm up. That's how I love that it works my fingers and my hands, and it's not drum set oriented for me.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it brings in a whole different thing. And that's how it's also meditative for me.
Oh, that's fantastic. That kind of gets you in the right headspace for the gig.
Well, it gets me in the right headspace and out of the headspace that I want to come in fresh and just as relaxed and breathing comfortably as possible. And that does that for me.
That's amazing. And like I said, literally a friend of mine's, his wife came back from India and she bought this for me and I've just kind of been banging on it. I have no idea how to play it, but now after watching that, I'm going to,
there was during COVID, you guys know that I play the Irish Bowron.
Yes.
And a Doombeck as well. But during COVID, I started this thing that was called the Bay Area Frame Drum Festival. And we were about to launch it. Then COVID hit. So we did it online. We did a couple of online things like that. And there was a guy who gave a Kanjira clinic. And I've got a recording of it, man. And it's heavy. It's really.
Oh,
really
dude, heavy. Send it to me. I want to see it because I got it. And yeah, that's so cool.
Yeah,
that's so cool.
Yeah, you'll go down a rabbit hole, look up Kanjira, send him the video.
Yeah.
It's. Yeah, you'll want to just cut all your fingers off.
How did you spell it, Butch?
K-A-N-J-I-R-A, Kanjira.
Yeah, it's amazing. Like that drum and like the Brazilian pandeiro to me are like, holy crap. It's like an entire drum set in one little frame drum. And
yeah, it's very annoying.
You know what, that's like when you watch somebody when you watch somebody really knows how to play a friggin' tambourine, right?
Yeah,
like really right. Knows how to play a tambourine with the head on it, and you're like, shit, I can hit two and four, but that's about it, you know. And you watch somebody knows how to play a tambourine, it's like, holy crap, it's amazing.
The last time I was at PASIC, I was like 5 or 6 years ago, and Joe Saylor, you guys know Joe Saylor, he's the drummer with John Batiste in the Stay Human band with Stephen Colbert's band, a phenomenal drummer. And he plays the gospel tambourine like nobody's business.
Yeah.
And he came out and, you know, you're at this drum conference and everyone's shredding and blasting and like this. And he comes out and he does like a 5 minute solo on the tambourine. And I was just like, this is my guy. and it was so, so good. And so musically stomping with his cowboy boots on the stage while he's playing it. And It was awesome.
When I first went to CalArts, John Bergamo was at, we went up to San Jose to when the PAS conventions would travel around the country at that time before they got, stopped in Indianapolis like they're doing now. San Jose, it was the first time I'd seen John perform, and he did a solo on an African sogo and a conga. And it's online. It's on YouTube. John Bergamo solo hand drum thing. Mind fucking blowing. What really? He does with the tabla technique, conga technique, and the sounds that he gets. It's like you're talking about Joe doing the tambourine. And watching Ray Cooper with Elton John,
Oh, my God. Yes.
You know,
yes.
I mean, the beauty of it is there's just so many ways. Mm-hmm. And that's when I went to CalArts, that was what exploded my mind. And what John Bergamo really impressed on me is that, like you're saying, Bart, you know, just pick up the tambourine. John just said, just play it. Yeah, okay, so these guys are amazing technique, but may find your own technique. Find your sound. Just fucking play.
Do you find that this all the percussion stuff that you did at CalArts, I mean, obviously it helps your drum set playing for sounds, like you showed your little noisemakers and stuff, but how does it affect your groove? How does it affect your feel? What does it do to you that makes this come to life?
Well, I mean, you know, everything we do outside or bring in other aspects of music or art, you know, it all affects everything we're doing on the kit.
Right.
You know, how can it not? I mean, the sensibilities and what I teach or pass along to people that I'm talking to about drumming is, you know, how can you not study or go into hand drumming and different types of percussion, because that's where the drum set came from.
Right.
It came from all of that. So there's a connection, and it's something we should be exploring more of. And once you get going down that path, it affects your feel. It affects your, you know, how you're approaching the drum set and how you're hitting and the sounds that I've, since I went into percussion and got down, you know, I hear more in just my snare drum than I heard before when I was two and four, and the subtleties it bring. I believe, you know, you are honing more subtleties and as you know, as you get older and play more, you start hearing more and utilizing all that.
I completely agree with that. I think. Oh, sorry, Rick. Go ahead.
Butch, it sounds like you've kind of doubled up what you can do as far as contributing to an album. So you can lay down drums, and it sounds like you've laid down a lot of percussion on those songs too.
Yes.
I
do a lot of that. I'm very fortunate, and I've been collecting in my bunker many different sounds and stuff and experimenting and building little sounds. I get called for that a lot.
You know,
so
I think
Congo playing on that.
Yep.
It's easy for our, you know, our listeners, our young drummers. You know, you learn the drum set. You think the drum set, and you get with a teacher, and you get the technique, and you're laid all the stuff on you, and your grip, and your stroke, and your technique, and your posture, and all that stuff, and that's all great. But the drum set is just, I tell this to my students, it's just a collection of things you can hit.
Yeah.
Right. That's how it started. Yep. Right. Oh, let's throw together some Chinese tom-toms. Oh, here's a pedal. Oh, now I can use it on my foot so I can hit these cymbals up here. And remember that the drums used to be called the traps, right? That's the contraptions. So the early drum sets were, you know, made up of not just what the standard drum set looks like now, but they had wood blocks and temple blocks and rattlers and shakers. And it was like you were like a movie grip, you know, like making all these different sounds and textures to add to the music. And I think a lot of drummers have gotten away from that, you know, just thinking about, you know, sort of learning the instrument proper. And it's good to remember, you know, it's just a collection of things you can hit. You're just making sounds. And like Butch was saying, as you get into it, you realize, wow, every drum, every cymbal has multiple voices. But if you are expert, you know, and deft with your touch, you can start to like really be more expressive with it instead of just thinking about your snare drum as being one sound or monochromatic. And adding these other percussion things, man, that's just
you hit the nail on the head, Jeremy. I apologize, I didn't mean to step on you there. You hit the nail on the head, and I think as you get older, and you know, you get more time under your belt and stuff, you're I think your hearing and your listening tools really develop, you know. And I, as we're talking about this, I'm looking around here in my studio, and I've got a slapstick, I've got a pair of claves, I've got three or four different shakers, and Rick was with me when I got this at NAMM. You know, it's the simplest little thing. It's been around for a million years, but I threw this this chain on my ride cymbal, and it has an apparatus that, you know, allows it to sit on the ride cymbal. And I am so digging just this new tone, this new sound, this new texture, if you will. And it's, I don't know, it's a different way of thinking. It brings something, it adds to music, but it brings something out of the music as well. It yep. makes it have a breath. It makes it come to life. It's not just, and hey man, I love 2 and 4, but there's something about just adding this. Listen to what that does to the song. So it's magical.
Check this out. Those are two drum kits. That's what I take on the gigs. Yeah. And this is all these things here are not drum set drums and percussion instruments. So those are, I got a cajon, a Bowron, a Doombeck, a Panderu, a foot pedal, a farmer foot pedal. You guys ever seen those?
Yeah.
They're like these foot pedals you can attach shakers and clackers to. And you can
seen those. Yeah. Yeah.
Those are awesome. So
do you take the washer and dryer with you?
I do. Yeah. Check it out.
Yeah. Hey. It works for Rush.
When I want that tumbling sound, man, I just throw the snare drum in there and I press the button. Go.
It's awesome. Perfect. So Butch, let's get back to you. Sorry, we kind of geeked out there for a minute.
Sorry.
Yeah, that's okay. That's what we do here. So on the does Lucinda allow you the freedom to, you know, I mean, is it, you have carte blanche, hey, I think this would work great on the song, and you do your gig, and you be you, obviously. I mean, she allows you that freedom.
Yes. Yes, she does. And I go for it, and I'll throw stuff out. And then, you know, there's an occasion once in a while, after the show, she'll go, "What the fuck was that?" I heard something in the chorus. What did you do? Well, honey, I got this glass. I put these beads in this glass bottle, and I was using it as a shaker because I thought the mood was more metallic. And she goes, "Oh, that art school shit. Okay." I that's why I'm there, and she loves it, they love it, and I you know, 98% of the time I'm firing on all cylinders and getting thumbs up.
Oh, it sounds like there's a lot of trust there.
Yes, all the way around within the organization. Yeah. And getting back to like the throwing the chain on the cymbal, I have gotten rid of, if you come and see a Lucinda show, I have one cymbal I use now.
Really? No, can you, you have one cymbal, really?
Well, no, I have 10 cymbals that are down by my trap table tray to my right. And okay. Depending on the song, I swap out a 22-inch ride, or I'll put up just an 18-inch crash, or depending on the thickness. And I have been just doing that for the last 3 years. And I use 17-inch hi-hats.
Oh.
And then I swap the cymbal depending on the song and the timbre of the song and what the guitars are doing. And with Lucinda, it's, you know, super high-end guitar stuff. So that's why I'm using 17-inch dark hats to stay below, stay out of that higher range.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm not battling with them in there.
Right, right.
That's a great point. I've done so many records where the hi-hat and the acoustic guitar, what am I listening to here? That is a fantastic point. Thank you.
Well, yeah. And taking away, I mean, I just started noticing years ago, first off, okay, the guitar players, guitars were switching guitars every song.
Yeah.
And wait, I've got three cymbals. I've never been, I don't like eight cymbals. And eight cymbals, I'm watching guys with eight cymbals, and I'm trying to discern the difference between that 16-inch crash and that 17-inch crash in a song. I don't hear a huge difference. Now, when I'm playing one cymbal and I'm crashing, I'm riding, and I'm going up to the bell, down to the middle, down to the edge, I'm getting so much more out of one cymbal, and I'm finding that so exciting and challenging.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Joe Jones, the great jazz drummer, or maybe it was Papa Joe Jones, or I can't remember. Yeah, Papa Joe Jones said every cymbal is five cymbals.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. I when I coach or have some guys come over and want some advice, and I watch a play, and I'm like, dude, you've got that beautiful crash. You're barely using it. You're just smacking the shit out of it. Let's explore the tip of the neck of this, you can get so many sounds out of one cymbal, out of one instrument.
Right.
Same with snare drums, toms, blah, blah, blah.
Right. Yeah. Not to mention using different things to hit it with.
Yes. Yes. Or throwing, I have little tchotchkes. I have little pieces of broken cymbal that I've attached a string to. And I'll hang that from a cymbal as opposed to the chains, and that bounces off and has a timbre, and it brings out a whole different sound.
Cool.
Hey,
so cool.
Butch, I wanted to point people to your website, butchdrums.com. And on your website, you've got a section here, Butch Wisdom.
Yes.
And it has your daily affirmations.
Yes.
And I thought that was very, very cool that you would, give back to people some helpful life information that's going to motivate them. So
that's what you guys are doing. That's what we should all be doing. Count your blessings, practice kindness, let go of things you can't control, listen to your heart, be productive yet calm, and always breathe.
That is it. And he memorized, that's for sure. That's what it says right on the website.
I literally say it. I say it every day. And I also recite the Four Agreements by Ruiz, these are important things.
Yep. They are very important things.
Okay. I've got to go here now. this is, extremely spiritual. It's very much it's soul changing, if you will. It's a very spiritual thing for you,
yes,
as it is for all of us. And yes. Shameless self plug. I don't have one here like Rick, but my book, The Rhythmic Journey. That's what it's about. It's about this journey that we're all on. It's about this rhythmic thing that we all have and do, and how to harness it, how to have nonverbal communication. What advice do you give to people there on the rhythmic journey? And just to pull that one out of the sky, what advice do you have spiritually? What do you talk about there? How do you get that deep?
I mean,
thanks, Rick.
The basics, like I just quoted, being positive, giving positivity back, drumming, playing an instrument, being involved artistically, being an artist is a gift, and we're very lucky and grateful to be able to do this and to have this conversation today and to share our ideas, and that's what we should all be doing in a positive way. This is not a competition. This is us helping each other. And that's, I love doing that. And then, when you can, if you want to go back and look at my drumhead article on schlepping, it's on my website there. I did about 6 years ago, and if you go look at that, I go deep into my ideas of being a working drummer and how to schlep your gear correctly. And you'll notice in this article, when you look at it, that I'm wearing only underwear and a weight belt.
Can't wait to see that. So wait, looking forward to it.
I'm still, this is reminding me of that bathhouse story. No.
Oh, yeah. And my 14-year-old son at the time, I forced him to take the pictures for this pictorial.
Poor kid. Traumatized.
Oh, my God. He's scarred for life.
So I'm really curious about this now, and I'm going to go check it out. But can you summarize how to correctly schlep your gear?
Well, I talk about it all the time. Dave Elitch talks about it, about posture and your core and your center. I started doing yoga about 12 years ago.
That was going to be my next question, because I'm a big yoga guy. Awesome.
Yeah. And this is a whole hour discussion about my things on centering and core. And I haven't, it brings up a lot. I haven't sat on a drum throne in 40 years.
Huh.
Bill made these for me, custom artist benches. Okay.
Oh, wow.
It's nice. A take on the, my wife was a concert pianist, and she had those Jensen artist benches that are adjustable, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
I was accompanying a modern dance class at Cal Arts 40 years ago. And after an hour and a half of sitting on a regular drum throne and playing congas and shakers and doing all the accompanying a modern dance class, I got up and I started rubbing my lower back. The dancer comes up and says, "Oh, you got the back pain." I said, "Yeah, an hour and a half." She says, "I don't understand how you drummers sit on those thrones." I go, "What?" She goes, "Yeah, you're sitting on one pole on a drum throne, and the pole, that one point of contact is supporting your center and your core, but you're constantly shifting your center and your core. If you sit perfectly like George Marsh and you never move and everything is like this, then you're fine. Then your center and core is being supported, but you're constantly changing." She said, "You should get something with four legs that will support 360 degrees of motion and your core and center." I went, "That's crazy." Went home, got my wife's artist bench out, put it on my kit. I've never had back pain since.
Wow.
The artist benches, those Jensen artist benches, I have three of them. They cost $950, right? But they've lasted 40 years. I would go through a drum throne every year and it would start to wobble and wiggle. Yep. And that is counterintuitive to supporting your core and your center.
Wow. Good stuff.
Very good.
Yeah. That's
amazing. That's amazing. A thing is for me, and this is just for me, if I ever show up at a gig and I'm on I'm backlined at the gig and a lot with the band that I work with, and the throne has a backrest on it, I always take it off, because the second you're leaning back and you're lazy, well, now you're flaming with your feet, your time's off. You're not sitting with your core, and there's a point where both feet come off the ground at the same time. And the second you're leaning back, you're being lazy. For me, I feel that way. Yeah. So, but the piano bench, I mean, my God, I never thought of that. And it's so simple.
Something with four, when you're around one of those, put it up to your kit sometimes, sit on it. They are the most solid things in the world. There's no wobble. There is, and you start thinking about, well, yeah, if I'm wobbling and you're playing, that is messing with your vertebrae.
Right.
Yeah.
It made so much sense, and I've turned a lot of people onto this.
Oh, that's cool.
That's cool.
This is absolutely. I've got to go to a piano store this afternoon.
Get on.
So basically, this interview just cost you $950.
Yeah, thanks, Butch. Appreciate it, man. Yeah.
Well, There are some that are more affordable, but it is a feeling, and you'll feel it immediately when you sit on that, and you'll feel solid, which is
Now, you had that one that you have there, it was made by Pork Pie. Do you have it? Okay, I want it this height, and this is how I want it. Okay, wow.
Yeah, they're custom made, and they're he's made a few. He calls them the butcher block.
That's awesome.
I've got it. I have a big black. I've got one Pork Pie snare drum. I got a big black and
great drum.
Yeah, fantastic drum. Yeah, yeah. Wow, that's very eye opening.
Butch, we appreciate you coming on so much, and it's very obvious to me that the recipe for the success that you have is not just the playing. It's the playing, but you also went to school to learn all this. It's the diversity. But the other half of that is all that personal growth and attitude stuff. And that's such a big part of the equation. And that's the sum of your success. So it's not just sitting at home practicing fast paradiddles. It's all this other stuff. So
thanks, Bob. Thank you for noticing. And like I said, the invoice will be coming.
Well, you know what I really like about this? I'm going to dive into your website, because all of us, including Chip, who's not here today, unfortunately, wasn't feeling well, we're all authors. I'm a blogger. I write for Medium, and I have blogs up on my website and stuff like that. And I do, I think that music and art is so much more than what you just said, Rick. I've got to echo it. I mean, it's not about playing fast paradiddles. It's about connecting with other people. And if you can't connect with yourself to every day go, and it may not be a drumming thing. It might be, hey, I'm going to go out in the backyard and meditate for 5 minutes, or I'm going to read a good book, or I'm just going to get something in me that will help get this out of me, you know, get the art out of me. I love that. I this is great. I can't wait to dig into your website. How does somebody get in touch with you if they want to take some lessons or get some coaching, or do you even do that, Butch?
I do not teach beginners. I am horrible at that. I tried when I was younger and older, and I'm not the guy for that. I have friends I refer. You can go to my website, butchdrums.com, and contact me through that. And during the pandemic, I started, I've got about 45 professional people that I write and share ideas back and forth, videos, and some of my writings. So I'm very open to that. Drummers from all over the world. Nice. And if you're a beginner, not me.
Right on.
Very good. Very good.
It has been an absolute pleasure having you on, man. So grateful that we connected and that you came on the show for us, and look forward to connecting more in the future.
Yes, likewise, anytime.
Good luck. Excellent, Butch. Good luck with the hip surgery, and check out Lucinda's newest album. Really good. And
well, the newest one is not me. It's that fucking hack Steve Ferrone is on there.
Never mind. Don't buy the new Lucinda album.
No, it's a fucking great record. Stories from a Rock and Roll Heart, which was done in Nashville during the pandemic, which I was in LA and couldn't get there. So again, that hack Steve Ferrone did this fucking record.
Always nice to feel like the guy who fills your shoes is up to the task.
Yeah, right.
And he's a sweetheart, and it's a great fucking record, and I fabricate and have ripped off all his parts when I play it live. So yeah.
Beautiful. Right.
Very cool. Very cool.
All right, everybody. Well, thanks for tuning in and for watching this post fact. And next week, we are going to have Todd Zuckerman on the show from the band.
Another hat.
Another.
That's my best Todd Zuckerman I can do.
amazing player. Yeah, nice.
Yeah. And for those of you who don't know about him, he's the drummer from the band Styx, which was a massively popular band in the 80s, and who I just listened to the other day. And I was like, you know what? This is a really good band. I haven't listened to him in a long time.
Yeah, fantastic stuff.
So we're excited about that. And don't forget about Deck Day on April 20th here in the Bay Area. 4 clinics. It's going to be a great event. And thanks, Butch, man. Appreciate you so much, man.
Butch, expect to hear from me. I'm going to reach out to you. And I'm really, this was wonderful. Thank you so much.
You're my pleasure. You're welcome. And if I feel like talking to you, I will.
Okay. Excellent. If not, do I at least get an emoji or something to tell me to go to hell?
You get the invoice.
Yeah.
I get it, just an invoice.
Yeah.
Not even an emoji.
You'll hear lots of crickets.
I love crickets.
All right, everyone. Have a great week. Keep practicing.
Thanks, guys, for everybody for watching. See you later.